always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Vic Porcelli.
Come on, you're Italian. You understand.
Every day is a busy day all of a sudden.
You talking to me? You talking to me?
Tough and smart. And I love Italian, so you know. He's definitely Italian.
At least I have this show to come and talk about it and let some stuff up.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
The Vic Porcelli Show.
All right. Another big hour of stuff here that Ken Williams put together for us. We're going to wrap up today with Joe Brazel from the St. Charles County Council, because we need to find out about, you know, some of the other, our signal covers so much area here, you know, so let's find out what's going on with the St. Charles County Council, and that's coming up with Joe Brazel at 10:41. 10:25, one thing I know for sure, we're checking the chat box.
Yes.
Maybe some other stuff too, but right now though, I don't know about you, Ken, but I'm ready for this.
Yeah.
Former Speaker of the House.
You just proved why you left-wing loons are so insane.
Yeah. Y'all ready for this?
Tim Jones. All right. Former former Speaker of the House. Director of the Freedom Caucus. And our very handsome afternoon guy, Tim Jones. How are you, buddy?
Well, I am very fine indeed, gentlemen. Good morning to you. And I have to thank you, first of all.
Yeah.
But I have to ask you for another favor. So remember a couple weeks ago? Yeah, I know. It's a heavy lift. It's tough being Vic Porcelli. Yeah, I know. A couple weeks ago, remember when initiative petition reform was stuck in the House and Majority Floor Leader John Patterson was not moving the bill?
Yeah.
And he said he was not going to move the bill. And he said that on Monday afternoon. And then I went on the Vic Porcelli Show on Wednesday morning. And by Thursday, they voted the bill out of the House.
How about
And it's back in the Senate.
Awesome.
Well, we're happy to do a favor, but just remember that...
I know. Someday, I know.
And that day may never come. Consider this a gift.
I know how we people are. Yes. I know how we are. So Vic and Ken,
yes.
The initiative petition bill. The bill that is designed to allow Missouri voters the choice as to whether or not they want to protect our Constitution from ongoing assault and attack by the out-of-state left-wing billionaires and their left-wing lunatic ideas like abortion on demand and gun-grabbing our Second Amendment rights away and minimum wage increases. They've already done Medicaid expansion. They want to do ranked choice voting here. It's a parade of horribles, gentlemen. So the initiative petition bill, which has been just floundering around in the General Assembly for over six sessions now, I think this is at least the seventh session that it's been in the General Assembly in Missouri, to protect our Constitution from ongoing attacks, to protect our Constitution from having abortion in a pro-life state like Missouri. They want to enshrine abortion in our Constitution, and not just any abortion on demand up to the point of birth. You know, sometimes if you ask Democrats, it's beyond birth. And if they can get away with it, they will do it. That's what's coming this year. So all of that, the stakes could not be higher because of the Freedom Caucus, because of News Talk STL Nation, because of all the movement conservative grassroots groups all across the state. That bill has gotten further along this year than ever before. And you know, we've been talking about it every step of the way. Senators have lost their chairmanships and their parking spots over it. Why doesn't Republican leadership in both chambers want to complete this bill? Why do they want to pretend to make it a priority every year and then have it fail in the last week of session? Well, because what I just described, initiative petitions in Missouri, ballot propositions to amend our Constitution, has become a multi-million, I was going to say cottage industry, it's a McMansion industry, right? There is tons of money flowing into rent a Republican consultant coffers and all sorts of other nefarious actors. Yeah, unfortunately, Republicans are guilty of this too, because they're making money off of it. So when you're making money off of something, guys, you don't want it to change, right? You want to keep the status quo. This bill, SJR 74, which you all have helped me move throughout this entire session, got back to the Senate with 3 weeks to go, further along than it's ever been. They couldn't use the excuse, oh, it's the last week of session. It's the last day. We don't have enough time. Oh, you know, if those guys hadn't filibustered. So 3 weeks to go. What would be the, it needs one more vote. It needs one more vote. It's in the Senate. It needs one more vote. After 7 years, 3 weeks to go, one vote. What would you all do if you were the leaders of the Senate and you had this hot potato sitting on your calendar ready to go with one more vote and you know you have enough votes to pass it? What would you do?
Well, I don't know what Ken would do, but I would find the person that's going to make that vote and pay him a visit and say, you know, it'd be a shame if you voted the wrong way.
you would bring up the bill, right?
Yes,
you would
of course.
Bring
Sorry,
the bill
yes.
to the floor,
yes,
right?
Yeah,
so if you're the Senate Majority Leader, Cindy O'Loughlin, so here's the people we need to talk about today. If you're Cindy O'Loughlin, the Senate Majority Leader, if you're the bill handler, Mary Elizabeth Coleman, I know she's probably listening to our show right now. She listens to our station. She's been a guest on this station many times. She's a senator from Jefferson County, well within our listening area here of the mighty News Talk STL. You would want that bill passed, right? If you're Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman, and she styles herself as a big-time conservative, she's running for Secretary of State, right? So she wants to protect the ballot. She says she's 1,000% pro-life. So doesn't she want to prevent abortion
yeah.
from being enshrined in our Constitution? So if you're Mary Elizabeth Coleman, don't you go to Cindy O'Loughlin and you say, Senator, bring up my bill. Bring up my, let's get this done. It needs one more vote. Guess what they did instead, guys? Instead of going to that bill yesterday, teed up, ready to go, 3 weeks, lots of time. We can clear the decks of this thing, and then we're done talking about it because it goes to the voters, and we'll talk about it then when it's on the ballot, likely in August.
All right. Maybe this will help.
They went to a gigantic $4.5 billion hospital tax bill instead of going to SJR 74. So the Freedom Caucus, Vic and Ken, is filibustering that bill because they're saying, let's go to 74 and vote on it and get it done. So I need everyone, once again, to call, email, hit on social media, Senators Cindy O'Loughlin and Mary Elizabeth Coleman. You can go to senate.mo.gov. You can find every way to contact them. Coleman is on Twitter, Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman, Senator Cindy O'Loughlin, senate.mo.gov. Pass SJR 74. Protect Missouri's Constitution.
All right, let's see if this can help a little bit too, Tim. Okay. I want you to expand on the abortion on demand that you mentioned, because if you say that to a lib that they want abortion on demand, they'll deny it. No, we don't want it. No, we don't want to kill babies after they're born. Can you expand on the real true vision of the left on abortion on demand?
Yeah, don't take my word on it. Read the bill. They have a proposal right now. So speaking, the reason we want SJR 74 to pass now in the legislature is because it will then go to the voters. And we would hope that that proposal would go to the voters in August, right? We have an August primary. We have a November general. So if the SJR 74 bill passes the legislature and goes to the voters, they can vote to make it harder to attack our Constitution with abortion on demand, with ranked choice voting, with gun grabbing, with all the leftist parade of horribles. The abortion industry, this is all, everything's an industry, right? The initiate petition industry, the abortion industry, the gun grabbing industry, this is what the left does with their Soros funded schemes. The abortion industry wants to put a ballot question on in November. That's why we've been talking about decline to sign, right? Right now, they're running around paying signature gatherers who have no idea what they're doing. Some of these people have been stopped and asked questions about what they're asking people to sign. They have no idea. It's an abortion on demand initiative petition. They want to try to get that on the ballot in November. So we need SJR 74 to pass the legislature now to try and short circuit that effort in November. In the meantime, don't sign anything when somebody asks you to sign something. This abortion IP, this abortion initiative, it's of course being styled as nothing more than an effort to protect women's health care and to provide reproductive justice yep. and safeguard reproductive rights. I would challenge everyone to actually read the language because, gentlemen, what it does is it destroys 50 years of pro-life protections that have been placed into Missouri law courtesy of folks like me and Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman and Nick Schroer, And many of the other people you hear on this station, Bob Onder, Bill Igel, the people trying to fight to get SJR 74 done now, they're trying to prevent this abortion IP from passing. So there's a number of things we can do. We can decline to sign when the signature gatherers ask you to sign. They have to turn in their signatures this Monday, this coming Monday. They're in the home stretch. We don't know if they have enough signatures or not. It'll be up to Jay Ashcroft to decide if all the signatures are turned in a timely basis and if they're valid. So decline to sign through this weekend. But then if it gets on the ballot, we're going to have to talk about what's really in that initiative. And Vic, to your point, what's in that initiative is basically removing all the pro-life protections that have been passed over the last 50 years in Missouri by Democrats and Republicans, because there used to be a bunch of pro-life Democrats. There's hardly any of them left. There's one or two. All of those protections will be gone, and Missouri will become an abortion-on-demand state, no exceptions, up to the point of birth. That's what the proposal really says if you take the time to read it and understand it.
You know, we talked to Bob Onder this morning at the beginning of the March for Life in Jefferson City. And boy, there's a guy who walks the walk literally, right? He's at the March for Life. And I say that because he ran as a conservative and he is a conservative, as you are. However, I just want to ask you a question, Tim. What is, because this just dawned on me again, what is the deal with liberals hating kids? Right? Hold on. Right? Children, babies, kill them. No problem. Abortion, after birth, no problem. Let them change their gender. Yeah, no problem. Let boys play against girls. What do liberals have against girls? What in the hell? I mean, against kids. What's the deal?
Two things here, Vic and Ken. All you got to do is look back at the history of left, of far left-wing progressivism. They are the purveyors of things like abortion on demand. Sanger, right? The left invented abortion and the abortion industry. So you look at eugenics, right? They believe that they believe, Vic, I'll go further. They believe humans are bad, okay?
Yeah.
Because we're destroying the planet every time we, you know, start our vehicles or dare to even walk outside and breathe the oxygen. They believe humans are bad. They want to depopulate the earth. And in the meantime, they want to control birth rates. And if children are born, they want to control the children. Because, Vic, if you control the kid, kids are easier to control than adults because kids are innocent.
Yeah.
And the left wants to brainwash them. And if you control the kids, then you control the next generation. Everything with them is about control. It's all about control. It's mind control. It's economic control. It's education control. It's energy control. Because they are on a quest for power. I don't know what happened to the happy hippie liberals of old. They're gone, and they've been largely replaced by these leftist, authoritarian, fascist autocrats.
And Vic, you and I have been on like this weird, exact main, like mainline mental thing going on, because that's exactly what I was thinking, Tim. I was thinking originally, I thought, well, why do they care about kids? They don't care about them when they're born. You know, after they're born, they just don't care, or they care so much about them, but beforehand they don't. But it makes sense, Tim. If they don't get them before birth, they get them after birth.
And then that's exactly right, Ken.
Yeah, if you survive being born,
right,
then we're going to take right. over.
It's a struggle every second of your life when you're a kid.
Right, with the Democrats. I'm talking about the left, and that's what we need to highlight, is because they're so evil, and they really are evil. Yeah.
Guys, you know how every accusation from the left is actually a confession? All of these dystopian post-apocalyptic movies that Hollywood puts out, Hollywood, they think they are making these movies about Republicans, but it's not true, right? Republicans have never been and are not the party of control. That's the left. So when you watch, you know, like the Hunger Games or movies like that, what are all those movies about? They're about a small elitist class of people that live in some magical, utopian, mythical city that would never exist, right? And they control the masses, right? They control the districts. They control all of us food gatherers. The Matrix, same thing. Terminator, same thing. Although they got rid of the liberals and the Republicans. They're just replacing them with machines. But, you know, so that's the problem with the left is eventually with the left, what the left doesn't realize is they are a self-defeating prophecy. That's what they're arguing for, because ultimately, every time socialism has been tried on this planet throughout human history, it's always devolved into communism, which is that elitist control of the haves and the have-nots, the small oligarchical ruling class and then all the proletarian peasants. It's gone from socialism to communism and eventually to abject oppression and death. Communism was the largest killer of humankind in the 20th century.
Hundreds of millions of lives, right, Tim?
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
So I just want to, you brought up Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger. You know, let's not forget that she didn't want word to go. This is her words, okay? We did not want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. Exterminate Correct. The Negro population. So if, you know, it's like they want to tear down statues, right? And they want to, you know, forget the past, erase the past. Well, here's another reason why you don't erase the past. Black people everywhere need to know that Margaret Sanger wanted them dead.
And she's the one who called them human weeds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The left, as I said, every accusation is a confession. It's what they're doing. The left is racist. Democrats are the original KKK. They are the original racist because, you know, and this took a long time for them to evolve into this. You know, the Democrats of old used to be, like I said, they used to be a lot more hippy dippy liberal, right? They just believed, oh, you know, we'd like government to be a little bigger, but they have unfortunately evolved to the negative, and they've evolved into this authoritarian class of lunatics. That's what they're all about. They're all about control. They want to control every aspect of your life. They want to control where you live, what you live in, what you eat, what you drive, if you get to drive at all, where you're going to live. They want everybody to just be little bees in the hive, and they'll be the queen bees and the king bees, and they'll lord over us all. Yep. They believe that most humans are wastes of space and time, and that we're just all a bunch of proletarian dirty peasants. That's what they believe in Washington, D.C., and unfortunately in most state capitals around the country.
All right. Tim, we're just about out of time, and I hate to do this to you, but that was a great conversation we had. But I want to get your reaction, because you went to school in New York City, correct?
I did. So spent almost 10 years there.
Were you on any of these campuses that you're seeing in total chaos?
Yeah, again, I'm just shocked. You know, I used to, I don't know if I ever went to Columbia. Columbia was, where is that, Vic? That's upstate, or not upstate. That's uptown, right, on Manhattan Island. I think it's in Manhattan, not the Bronx.
It is
but
in Manhattan,
it's way, yeah. Yeah, it's way at the northern end of Manhattan. I went through NYU. NYU is an urban campus. Kind of like SLU used to be. You know, it's just, you don't even necessarily realize you're on NYU's campus. It's a lot of buildings and stuff, and it's in the middle of lower Manhattan. And, you know, again, back in the day, you know, even in the 90s, right, New York, very liberal place, always been, pretty much always, it's been a liberal place probably for the last 90 years, kind of like St. Louis. And, you know, you'd walk through NYU's campus, and again, mainly just hippy dippy granola crunching liberals, right? And so now to see what's happening now, I am shocked. I'm shocked and chagrined, as many might say. And it's disturbing to me because Vic, you know this, there is a huge Jewish American population on the East Coast, especially in New York City. Can you imagine how terrified? So there's a ton of Jewish students that have got to be absolutely terrified right now. And I am ashamed for these kids. This is horrible. You're supposed to go to college to expand your horizons, have civil discourse and debate, agree to disagree, and move on. You're not supposed to be hate mongers and fear mongers and be promoting genocide of the Jews. Again, I thought it was never forget. I thought it was never let this happen again. And now you've got these quote liberal campuses who are actually propagating genocide, apartheid, and death. Yeah. When is the Democratic Party going to wake up? They're really going to be a party of yesteryear. Thank God. But on the other hand, we need a vibrant two-party system. That's what the country's based upon. When are the Democrats who are controlling this party going to step up and say, enough with the anti-Semitic hate, enough with the pro-terrorist speech? There is a good side on this and a bad side, and the left is on the evil side.
Right.
You know, and that's a bad place to be.
Do you know Lou Gehrig went to Columbia University?
Did he really? He's rolling in his grave.
Yeah. And Dwight David Eisenhower was the president of Columbia University between the time he was a general and the president of the United States. And now look what happened. All right.
Amazing.
Speaker Tim Jones, you'll hear him this afternoon with Chris Arps in between 4 and 6 o'clock. Mr. Speaker, thank you so much, man. We really rely on you every Wednesday. We appreciate you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate all you do. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Tim.
Whoosh, my speaker.
Whoosh, my brother. All right. Timmy.
Tim Jones. Lou Gehrig went to Columbia University. He was going to be an engineer.
Wow.
Just happened to be really good at baseball.
Became an engineer of baseball.
Yeah, boy, exactly right, Ken. Well put. All right, when we get back, I want to hear from somebody who is sick of the left, okay, and what the Democrats are intentionally allowing in this country. And we'll check the chat box. Promise, that's next on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL, number one for live and local conservative talk.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
Made in St. Louis, for St. Louis. It's News Talk STL.
Walking that line.
Yeah, real close to that line.
All right. Good morning, and welcome to it. It's 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Hey, I just said that.
I just...
Number one for live and local conservative talk. All right, I want you to hear something, because this is your typical American who's just absolutely sick of what the left is doing.
What needs to be happening here is that Black Americans and White Americans and Latino Americans are all getting together and saying, we're f***ing Americans and you're not going to f*** with us. If they're Americans and you come here from your whole country and you f*** with us, you're going to be dealt with. That needs to be the policy. Running up and down the streets, punching people, doing whatever the they want, beating up the cops, flipping the cops off. They divided us intentionally in 2020 so that this exact unity wouldn't happen when they did this. People are starting to figure it out. I love it, dude. I love it. People are starting to get it. It's Americans, and then it's other people. It's not Black, it's not white, it's not gay, it's not straight, it's Americans, and then it's other people.
Yep. And I don't know who that guy is. I don't think he's even identified.
No, he's not, really.
But he's an American, and how Americans are feeling right now, whether the left and Nancy Pelosi and everybody else wants to think, this is truly how Americans are feeling.
When I first heard this clip, I felt almost like I was saying something wrong, feeling that way. Because that's what they want you, on the left, the Democrats, they want you to feel bad about being a patriot. They want you to feel horrible about enjoying other people's company who are not exactly like you, and you're still a conservative. That's what they do not want to get out, is the fact that that's the way conservatives think. We think, don't mess with me so much, and let's all get along. That's our philosophy in general.
Ken, that's brilliant. Do you want me to stay, or I should just
go? No, you're
good. That was really good. So,
thanks, man.
That was really, really great. I should just go.
No, God, no.
You want me to stay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Can we check the chat box?
All right.
You pick Rumble or Facebook first.
Hey, let's do Rumble.
We did Rumble first. Here we go. Duke gets us going. Good morning, all Patriot Vic heads. Chris says good morning. And I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. No fair election.
No peace.
No fair election.
No peace.
Lunch Lady says, I did contact Mary Elizabeth this morning.
Good, good.
Lunch Lady being proactive. That's what right. You got to do. You heard Tim Jones say, call Mary Elizabeth Coleman, call Cindy O'Loughlin, and call Kayla Brown for that matter, too, and tell them how you feel. Because if you don't call, they're going to say, you know what, guys, we're doing a great job.
Yeah, exactly right.
Everybody's happy with us.
And you know, Tim, you know, congratulated the show for helping out, but the listeners are the ones helping out.
Yeah, they're all right. They're not as good as us. No, I'm kidding. I'm so kidding, and you know that. All right. She said she's doing everything she can to pass IP reform. She got right through to Mary Elizabeth Coleman.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's awesome.
All right, over to Facebook we go. Good morning, ladies, gents, and gentle cats. Good morning, Vic heads. Good morning, Wednesday morning. Scooter's in the box today.
Scooter, you know, is.
Scooter.
Yeah.
Scooter Van Duken. Scooter Van Duker. Okay, hold on to your hats, okay? He says, by the way, he calls me Mr. P, Ken Mr. W. Does Mr. Pete, because Vic is not good enough, right?
Right. It's easier to say Mr. P.
Less syllables, than just Vic is easier. Right. And less keystrokes by one, right? Mr. P is Mr. And then, you know, the period after Mr. and the P, that's four. Vic is just three. Anyway, he says, does he really believe, are you ready for this, Ken? That KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre, is a DEI hire?
Do I really believe that?
That's what he's asking you, Ken.
Oh, from the actually, bottom of my heart.
Right. I mean, yeah. If when she was brought out to replace Jen Psaki, that was the whole thing. First black woman, first black lesbian woman, first black immigrant lesbian woman. That's not a DEI hire. You tell me. I could give you 50 people who are in third grade who could do better than what she's doing.
If I looked up and saw a DEI poster, it said DEI on the top of it, guess whose picture would be on it? That would be Karine Jean-Pierre. She fits that profile so perfectly because she of course, checks all the boxes, but Vic, she also is just dumb.
She is.
And she's in one of the highest positions in the government.
And Scooter says, well, how about Dr. Carson?
What about him?
He's like best brain surgeon in the world.
No, he's not a DEI hire.
That's what I'm saying. He's saying that he is.
No, why? No, why?
If we can say the Karine is, we have to say the Dr. Penn.
No, Dr. Scooter, wait,
there's more Scooter.
Oh, my God.
Scooter.
Yeah, this one real quick is just because he's black doesn't mean he's a DEI. That's kind of racist.
Scooter, you're a racist.
That's a little
man.
Racist, dude.
So we were. Are you done?
No.
We were talking to Stefan Padfield earlier today.
Right.
And I brought up that Disney has chosen diversity, DEI, ESG over success for their shareholders.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure I'm right on that. So Scooter says, if you bought Disney stock a year ago, you made $30 per share. This is like saying, well, you know, inflation was at 1% when I took office, and then I made it go to 9%. But look, I brought it back down to 3%.
Right.
So Disney, Scooter, just so you know, I love how you framed your little thing there.
Yeah.
In a year, let's go back to March 19th of 2021, the height of wokeness and DEI and diversity. Disney's shares were $191 a share.
$191
a share.
Wow. Okay.
October 20th, 2023, went down to $82 a share.
Are you? Oh my! That's
over $100.
That's over $100 a share.
So then Scooter says, but if you bought it in the last year, you made $30 because from in between then, October 13th of 2023, it went from. I'm sorry, it went down to 79 and then up to 114 where it's at right now. But you still lost a ton of money.
And the way shares work, if it came back to 191 even, you'd still have lost money because of the previous amount.
You don't even break even.
You don't even break even. Scooter, you really have to study that a little bit.
You really do, man.
Don't post that.
Don't try to do these tricky words, you know, in the last year, you know, 30. So no.
But that's a typical left-wing response.
That's right. That's right. You're right. Jason Haiti. Haiti? He says, I love that Tim Jones is calling people out by name. Do that exact thing, even if it's uncomfortable for you. That person has had your back.
It is uncomfortable sometimes, Vic.
And especially the have your back part. Had your back at one point, right?
Yeah.
Elizabeth Coleman, Cindy O'Loughlin. I'm sure they had, you know, their backs at one point. Not anymore. He also goes on to say, really making a point to say her name. We're talking about Mary Elizabeth Coleman and Cindy O'Loughlin. When my perception is sometimes we beat around the bush, and I hope it's done fairly.
And that has to do with SR-71.
SJR-74.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I wrote it down when Tim said it.
SR-71. Isn't that a plane? 74.
This is the most important entry in our chat box this morning, Ken.
Yeah.
It's from Steve Gross.
Okay.
And Steve says, can someone provide or tell me where to find a good, clear, brief, bullet point summary of the abortion IP language
Wow.
that I can carry around with me and or distribute? How do we do that?
If anybody knows that, we'll have to look into it. We'll have to look for it. And if anybody else can help us too, our listeners are incredible in this, do so.
We talked to two guys who may be able to do it, Bob Onder and
Jim Jones.
Today.
That's what I mean. We'll contact them and try to find it.
That is a great, great point. And if everybody can do that, get a good, brief, bullet point summary of what the abortion IP language is, carry it with you, and when people like Scooter say something to you, you can bring it out and say, there you go.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Disney graph would look like, but maybe it's closer with the same. We lost 11 million jobs immediately and taking credit for climbing back. That's exactly what I said, Jason. You're right on, baby. Head with a Y. You heard me say, is it heady, heady? It's heady. It's head with a Y.
With a Y. Jason. Okay, heady.
Thanks, Jason. We appreciate it. All right. So what in the heck's going on in St. Charles County and their county council? Huh?
Yeah.
Well, Joe Brazel happens to be on the county council in St. Charles. We'll talk to him next on 101.9 and 94.1, number one for live and local conservative talk. You got that right.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
What are you obligated to provide food to people who have taken over a building?
Well, first of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
But you mentioned that there was a request that food and water be brought in, unless I misunderstood.
To allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
But they did put themselves in that very deliberately in that situation and in that position. So it seems like you're sort of saying, we want to be revolutionaries, we want to take over this building, now would you please bring us food and water?
Nobody's asking them to bring anything. We're asking them to not violently stop us from bringing in basic humanitarian aid.
They're stopping the delivery of food?
We are looking for a commitment from them that they will not stop it violently.
But they haven't stopped it.
I don't know to what extent it has been attempted, but we're looking for a commitment.
The best defense is facts, right?
Yes.
Drastic much? Do you hear this, girl? Like a glass of water.
Right.
Because I'm dying of thirst. And then she dared to use the word humanitarian? Humanitarian? Who killed the Jews? Oh, that's humanitarian. That's great.
Yeah, she's making it sound like they're in Gaza.
She does.
It's such a joke.
She makes it sound like there's bullets flying over her head and I can't even get a glass of water. Humanitarian. That was the one word that jumped out on me on that whole thing. Was they should, you know, in a humanitarian way, give me a glass of water. I'm like, how about in a humanitarian way, you stop saying kill the Jews? How's that sound?
Yeah, but she's standing there acting like they've been fighting them and closing them off from all kinds of activity, including food and water.
Exactly, Ken. She makes it sound like she's got her hands zip tied behind her back, right? Her mouth taped, blindfold around her head, a hood over her head, and being walked to go get waterboarded.
And then when they say something, when they ask her the actual question, she can't say, you listen to this.
Stop it.
But they haven't stopped it.
I don't know to what extent it has been attempted, but we're looking for a commitment.
Vic, she's claiming that, okay, that we want to make sure that they don't obstruct and stop us from getting food and water and, you know, make it real dangerous for our students.
Is that what they've done?
No. The
we're looking for a commitment.
Right. Yeah. Have they done that? And she goes,
we're looking for a commitment.
No, but, you know.
And then her ace in the hole is the vocal fry, right?
Yes.
Well, I just want a glass of water. That's all I want, a glass of water.
Listen to my voice, I need a glass of water.
I have Uncle Fry, so I need a glass of water so I don't sound like I'm talking on NPR. Okay, Joe Brazel apparently can't be with us.
Let me try one more time.
Yeah, give him a shot.
Okay.
Meanwhile, here in St. Louis County, our friend Mark Harder, who has been on the county council for a long time, of course, and with us all the time. See, what we were trying to do was We're up to date on the county council, St. Louis County Council. We wanted to get updated on the other county councils around the area, St. Charles and Franklin County and Jefferson County, and get some people on there. So Joe Brazel was going to be our first experiment in that. And, you know, if we can't get him, we'll get him on maybe later in the week. And then Mark will be back with us next Wednesday and get more updates from the St. Louis County Council. So Ken got a text from Mark Harder that said we passed funding for the senior tax freeze tonight. So that big discussion about seniors and the tax freeze for seniors, it was a divisive issue somehow, wasn't it? The senior tax freeze was divisive. I mean, you get
people. I don't know why, but.
Well, David Stokes and I went at it pretty good about this topic.
Yeah.
And I think he had some good points, and I think I had some good points. One of which was, this is not fair to a new couple just getting married, young couple getting married, you know, who don't make a lot of money yet, and but seniors get the tax freeze. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, a young couple has so much potential for more money making.
Right.
Right? Raises in their career, bonuses, extra added curricular activities that they may do. There's plenty of additional income that can be made by a young couple, and seniors are on what they call a fixed income
more often than not. Yeah, they've worked through that whole thing through their whole lives,
and right,
contributed through their whole lives. So.
And that phrase "fixed income" sometimes goes by the board. Fixed income means there's no additional dollars besides whatever dollars they have right now, or Social Security, or any pension or anything like that they may have.
And they're supposed to get a cost of living raise, I guess, with a fixed income, but it's nothing where it should be, right. For example. Like, for example, if you have with the Biden administration right now, their inflation rate is 3 point whatever it is now. Well, they get a 1.2
right.
cost of living increase. That's not going to do anything for them.
So the cost of living is rising faster than the cost of living increase.
Right.
And that's what's keeping them, you know,
exactly. So,
all right. So that got passed last night. And hopefully in a few months, they can start to collect applications. Long time coming. Well done, Mark Harder. We also passed $40 million for subdivision street work in unincorporated St. Louis County. So it was a good day. He said it was a good day.
Look who's on TV.
John Kennedy.
Being perpetuated by Republicans. Democrats seem to be able to do it without consequence. That's point one. Point two, we shouldn't paint with too broad a brush. Some of our universities have done a good job. I'll mention three. Vanderbilt, Tulane, and the University of Florida. They have done a good job in dealing with this rule by the mob because of their leadership. The presidents of those three universities are passionate advocates of free speech. They understand that the Constitution protects free speech against government, but it does not protect disruptive behavior.
That is Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana. He's got great points there.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Because different colleges took different steps to protect their students, you know.
Yeah.
And the three that he mentioned, Vanderbilt, Tulane, and University of Florida, I think you put University of Texas in there, too. They did a pretty good job at squashing things. But I think that when it comes down to these particular riots, can we call them a riot?
Yeah, I mean,
is it fair?
I think it's fair because they're threatening people and they're actually doing much damage to property. So yeah, call it a riot.
And I think that Tulane and Vanderbilt and University of Miami and University of Texas has a much, I'm guessing now, okay, less Jewish population than Columbia or City College of New York, CCNY, or Harvard, or Fordham now. They're starting to form in Fordham. Many Jewish people, as Tim Jones mentioned with us, a lot of Jewish people in New York, in New York City and New York State. And it's not fair that people in this country, we're talking about America. We're not talking about Germany in 1933. We're talking about America in 2024. It's not fair that Jewish students or Jewish people in general should live in fear. Because guess what? In Germany in 1933, they lived in fear. And I thought we were going to never forget.
You never forget. Well, apparently Donald Trump never forgot. He got the Abraham Accords going.
He put
the embassy in Jerusalem. Okay. Donald, there was peace. Do you remember when he was up on stage with an Israeli and an Arab at the time, and they were shaking hands?
This is during the Abraham Accords.
This is during the Abraham Accords with President Donald Trump.
I have not heard the phrase Abraham Accords out of the mainstream media ever.
No.
Not even when it was happening, I didn't hear it.
And why is that, Vic? Why do you think that is?
I have a better question for you. Why do you think it is that we don't even see it on supposedly conservative news channels and stations?
Are they conservative, though? Are they really conservative?
What they're supposed to be.
They're supposed to be? Well,
at least an answer to left-wing mob media. At least an answer. If not conservative, at least an answer to it. And why aren't they mentioning the Abraham Accords? We mention it on this show.
I talk about, you know, being jaded and about the media these days. I left Fox News a long time ago.
I didn't know you worked at Fox News.
No, I mean, I...
I know, I'm just kidding. I'm just an idiot. I'm sorry.
That was good. But Greg Gutfeld's still on there, and so is Jesse Waters. And there are a couple people that I really enjoy in there, but I'm not going to watch... I'm not going to... I'm not going to watch Fox News because of them.
I like Jesse a lot. I really do. And he's a Bill O'Reilly protege all the way.
Oh, yeah.
And if you watch him, same kind of cadence.
Yeah.
Likes to interrupt during the interviews. The hand gestures that he makes, so Bill O'Reilly, which is fine. He learned from Bill. That's fine.
That's right.
But I think Jesse does a great show, and I love the Gutfeld show. So it's the part in the middle, which is Hannity, unfortunately, that I have to sit through to get to Gutfeld.
And the most disappointing couple is the Arizona couple, Martha McCallum.
The Arizona twins.
And Brett Beria, the Arizona twins. I mean, that was just so, so disappointing.
You know, that's a great point. And let's talk about that for just a second while we have another minute or so left. This year is the first presidential election since then, what you're talking about. And what right. Ken's talking about is Brett Baer and Martha McCallum called Arizona for Joe Biden way too early, I thought.
About 7:05.
When the thing on the bottom said Trump was ahead,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
So, and I just thought it was way too early.
A lot of people did, yeah.
So I wonder what their tone is going to be this year when they're calling states for one candidate or another. Because if they do it again, I swear to God, I am going to drive to New York, slap them both in the face, and then drive home.
It's going to be interesting to watch a lot of different things happening with all the media. And the good thing about this time around, though, Vic, think about this. All of our listeners, and ourselves included, we have an in now. We know what's going on behind the scenes. We know that all this stuff took place. And it's a fact. There is documented fact that there was cheating going on. There were nefarious things happening to make Joe Biden win this election. There were.
And trickery in what they say, you know? And I go back to, you know, our chat box and this guy Scooter, who clearly is a lib, you know, the dishonest way that he represented Disney's stock by saying, well, if somebody bought stock in Disney a year ago, they made $30 per share, but it went from, you know, what did we say? I don't even remember.
It was 191 to 8, dropped to 82 from 191. So, yeah, you may have in the last year made 30, but you lost about 80.
Right.
So, you know.
Right. And that's the way the left forms things. They form things in a devious, you know, I don't know what the word I'm thinking of is because I have no brain left whatsoever, but it's just, I don't know, it's just dishonest. So listen, I really think that we had a good, important show today, Ken. I really do.
A lot of information, yeah.
Bob Onder, right in the thick of the March for Life in Jefferson City, took the time to call us, do the Pledge of Allegiance for us.
Love it.
And then, you know, told us exactly what's going on down there in Jefferson City and the things we need to do to get our state back. And while we're at it, let's make America great again. We played the Be or Not to Be with Paul Kartman, yes, but then after when we had the discussion with him, more great stuff from Paul Kartman.
Yeah.
I miss that guy a lot. You know, Stefan Padfield was great. Tim Jones is great. And it's, I don't know, I just thought it was a, not just a fun show, but an important show, which I believe is almost over.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, then, thank you for having the record player on at night to listen to us this morning.
Make sure you have the record player on at night.
And Dan Bongino is coming up next. Have a great day. Kenny and I will see you tomorrow morning at 9. We'll do it all over again on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.